I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church
because it's friendly.
Because the Holy Spirit dwells among us.
Because it shows unconditional love.
My church loves me, and I feel that in this place that I'm accepted and loved for who I am today.
I love my church.
Because of our great pastors that we have, and also for the kind, considerate people that we worship with.
Because we do ministry with excellence.
I just look at the influence that this church has, not only on the people that come here, the guests, the community, and also in our missions work as well. So really, the influence goes around the world.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
Because it's caring.
Because there is so many opportunities for young adults, not only to be involved, to be active, but also a treasure trove of opportunities to serve.
I also really love the music, all of the music.
We can all get together, we can all have a good time, we can all serve others in need, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we can do it all effectively and make bonds that span generational gaps. That is why.
All right, let's hear it for those that shared this week. I'm pretty excited. We have a whole group of those who will be sharing. You'll see a different group that I'll be sharing each week in regard to that. Got some great stories as well that will be coming. We have t-shirts for you, and that says this, I love my church, with a little sharing the light. We intentionally did not put our church name on this so that you would have to make sure you do that if anybody says, oh, well, what church is that? And that could be your conversation. But we're just trying to say that one of the best things that God has provided for us is the church. And we are committed to this church and excited about the way that God is working. In fact, if you'd like to find out more about what's taking place here over the past year, tonight in the well, we have our annual meeting. And so many of our directors and pastors will just be sharing a little bit about what has happened in the past year. I think you'd be really encouraged. And so you're welcome to join us. It's kind of a great opportunity. And then we celebrate next Sunday night. So you must sign up today or in the next day or so. So we have an exact count of how many will be here. This is our annual church dinner. And we just invite you to come. It's no charge. But it's a great opportunity to celebrate together, just have fun. And you can wear those t-shirts that night. That would be a great thing. And so we'll just, it's just a fun evening of kind of connecting with others, getting to know one another. No pressure. It's just kind of like a little party that we have. Actually, it's kind of a big party. We usually have around 600 people at this party. But it's been really great, and so we'd invite you to come and join us. I love my church. They sang Learning to Care for One Another, and that's really the t-shirt as well says, love God, love one another. And that's the whole idea of what the message of the church is. And today we're talking particularly, each week we're going to be talking about different aspects. And today I want to talk about the proof. The proof. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So the proof is important in each of our lives. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning as we share your word. Help us to understand exactly what you want to do through our lives. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. There's a great importance of understanding. When I was trying to put together this particular message, each week I'll be talking about one another. And so the one another this week is loving one another and what that means and what that looks like. So we try to kind of work the songs so that you'll be able to really kind of get that in your mind and your focus. And the Spirit can be able to help better open our minds as we're seeing how God is working. So loving one another is really the proof of who we are in Christ. Now, I have to tell you that there's so much love in the Bible, it's overwhelming. I mean, I try to figure out what verses and what passages would I focus on. Like, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And so as we're thinking about that and looking at that, it has to be the most important thing that we do. But to be honest, I don't think we do it really well. Now, I think we do it very well here at Christ Wesleyan, but as the bigger church, the larger church, I'm not sure we do it really well. And even at Christ Wesleyan, I think we could do it a whole lot better, because I think there's a lot to learn about how we love one another. First of all, loving one another begins in Christ. And so as we look at that and as we see that Scripture tells us this. We love each other because he loved us first. We love each other because he loved us first. We don't possess within us the capability of loving unselfishly, unconditionally. We just don't do that. And I think that's the thing that we have to always be aware of, that it's got to be God's work in us that makes it happen. Scripture also says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So when the world looks at us as the church, they should say, wow, I want to be a part of that. They really love one another. That's what they should say. That's what they should see. They should see that we have this kind of love for each other that just goes beyond what you can imagine. But unfortunately, many times the church is not known for how they love one another. And that's why the work is always before us. The mission is always there. First of all, we know that Jesus loved us first. So that's kind of the motivation. That's kind of the model, the example. He's already given that to us. We know that he gave us an example of it. So he loved us first before anything else. And then here's how you do it. I don't know about you, but I am definitely one who gets a whole lot more out of watching somebody do it than reading about doing it. Like, I know when you, and maybe this is pretty male, but you open up the box and you have all the parts and pieces and you, here's the instructions, and you go, oh yeah, I can do this. And then after a while, well, maybe if they have pictures, I could see how to do this. And then when my picture doesn't look like their picture, then it's like, I've got to read. But it would be so much easier if I saw someone doing it, because I can reproduce what I see. I can do that if I see it. And that's why Jesus said, here's what I want. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm doing it first. I'm going to show you how to do it. Now you know how. Now you know how. Here's how you do it. And so he gave us then the commandment of love. Now, here's the problem. We often think love is a feeling. We think love is an emotion. And it can be. And it can be part of that. But you can't command feelings. You can't command feelings. They just happen. We wish we didn't have those feelings many times. We wish they didn't just happen, but they do. If you're going through grief and you've experienced loss in your family, it's sometimes hard to talk about those things. Sometimes you can talk about it without any tears at all. You can just explain what happened in the loss. And then another time you'll explain it and you start crying and you think, oh, I must be losing my mind. I was okay before, but now I'm not. No, you're not losing your mind. It's just emotions. And that's just the way feelings are. You can't always predict them. You can't always control them. They happen. Now, what you do have to learn how to control is what you do with those feelings. Like, you may feel anger. Okay, it's an emotion. God gave it to you for a reason. It's not sin to feel, but it becomes sin when you do something with it. And it's out of control. That's when it gets sin. And that's why feelings can't be commanded. Feelings happen. What you do with them is important. That's why when Jesus gave us a commandment to love, He said, I'm not giving you a commandment to feel warm and fuzzy every time you see people in your world. Because some people just don't make us feel warm and fuzzy, right? But he's saying, here, I don't care what you feel, I'm commanding you to love. So that has to mean that I'm going to take action in my life that's going to demonstrate love. So I'm going to take action to demonstrate love. That's what I have to do. And I want to say this much, we are designed and wired this way, that if you take action to demonstrate love, you keep doing this, and pretty soon you'll feel it. It's just the way it is. God designed us this way. So keep on doing it, and it'll come. Jesus declared that the proof of who I am is revealed in how I love. The proof of who I am is revealed in how I love. And so that's what you have to be aware of in your life. You have to say, how can I demonstrate love in my world? How can I show that to the people in my world? How can I let them know of my love? Because that becomes the proof. So when the church comes together, loving God, loving one another, we are demonstrating the real proof of what's inside of us. And that's why it's so important. Now, Christ's love is, let's try to understand what that is, because he says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So in the same way becomes, how do we do that? How do I show that? Well, first, Christ's love is unconditional. Christ loves you just the way you are. He loves you just like you are. Nobody knows you better, not even your spouse. No one knows you better, and no one loves you more. He knows every part of you, knows all the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the positive, the negative, the bad thoughts, the whatever, but he loves you just the way you are. Nothing you can do could make him love you more. So you don't have to earn his love. We always feel that we have to earn the love of those that are around us, right? Very few loves do we have that we don't have to feel that way. I can say it's amazing. As a parent, it was amazing. No one had to teach me to love my children. No one. It just comes. Like, when they're born, you just suddenly, like, have this love that comes that you feel for them. Now, you have to learn to love everybody else in your world, right? And some are harder than others, but that's all part of it. But that unconditional love means I'm going to love no matter what. That's the kind of love that Christ had for us. That's the kind of love he wants us to demonstrate to those in our world. Christ's love is sacrificial. That means he gave up himself. He gave up. That means if you're going to have real love, you're going to have sacrificial love. So you're going to have to learn how to give. Love is giving. It's giving. There's no way around it. It's definitely giving. And God has called us to be sacrificial in our giving. That means you're going to have to sacrifice sometimes your own feelings so you can love others. You're going to sacrifice your own desires so you can love others. You're going to sacrifice your own needs so you can love others. It's an important part of being unconditional and sacrificial. We see also that Christ's love is forgiving. When you ask God to forgive you for your sins, he doesn't say, but you did this yesterday. Aren't you glad? Aren't you grateful that he doesn't remind us? He says, okay, I forgive you. And so we need to be able to have that kind of love that is forgiving to those in our world as well. That's hard. That's hard. And please know that sometimes some of you have been hurt deeply by someone in your life. You've carried some deep pain that's been a part of your life. And let me help you understand that although God's love comes and his forgiveness comes instantly, for some of us, it's a process. It's a journey. And so you don't feel forgiveness, but by an act of your will, you will choose to forgive. And when I choose to forgive, I'm choosing not to hold on to the hard feelings and the bitterness. Now, when that comes back to me, when I see them again, and I feel those feelings, remember, I can't command feelings. I can only command my will. So when those feelings come back to me, what do I do with the feelings? I choose to act in love and forgiveness. And by choosing to act, after a while, then I will feel forgiveness. You won't feel it. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean you haven't done it. So don't beat yourself up because you say, well, you know, I've tried to forgive him. I just can't. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You just need to keep doing it lots of times. Christ's love is holy and pure, so his love doesn't want something. You know, that's the kind of the unholy love or the sexual kind of thing that we're always after something. His love is holy and pure in how it's demonstrated. So Christ's love comes, and so what? How does it come? And let's understand. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Okay, this is like heavy. If you want to know all about love, 1 John's great book. So if you're struggling and trying to understand, how do I understand this better, write down 1 John and go read that. It's only, you know, a few chapters. You can read it over and over and over. I can't even tell you how many times I've read 1 John. It's one of my favorite books. Because it really helps us to understand it's action. Love is action. It's doing something. It's not just saying, I'm waiting for the feeling to happen. It's putting it into practice. It's doing something tangible. And so when he says, first of all, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. God gives us this desire to love. It doesn't come from ourselves. It's not going to come naturally. God's going to put it in our heart to love. And he's going to give that to us. However, we're going to have to practice it and put it into practice by doing something. So anyone who does not love or doesn't demonstrate love does not know God, for God is love. When I am filled by the Holy Spirit, I am given a supernatural power to love. This doesn't come from myself. It comes from the Holy Spirit living in me. And so when I'm filled by the Holy Spirit, so when I give my heart to Jesus and I say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I give you control of my life. When I do that and I am born again, his Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And because his Holy Spirit lives in us, it now gives me the power to love where I didn't love before. Because he gives something new into me. I have this supernatural power inside of me. And so that's why it said, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love, with his love. So we can see that he's given his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So God's love is given to you by his Holy Spirit in you. And that's how it happens. So that's the beginning. So you say, I don't know if I can love them or not. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because God's given you the power. He's given you the power. You're just not aware of it if that's the case. So you just need to draw on the resources that you've been given. And God has given you the power to love. Now, we also know Christ's love comes when I am connected to the vine. So when I am connected to the vine. So how are you going to love more? Being more connected to God. And that's exactly how it continues. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. This is all about producing the fruit of love in your life by remaining connected. And so, if you're having difficulty loving, just go back and check your connection. Make sure that you are drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit who is in you to be able to love. And you can be able to see. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Now, love comes when I make every effort. It's not easy. And you know that. You know that. There are people in your life, we always call them those EGRs, extra grace required. You have some EGRs in your life, and they are really hard to love. You just don't ever feel warm and fuzzy around them. In fact, you feel a little uncomfortable every time you're around them. And those EGRs are hard. And that's why I say just make every effort, because that's what the scripture tells us. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of brotherly affection with love for everyone. So I'm going to have to do that. That brotherly affection. So the affection in the word here is really very much meant that we treat them like brothers and sisters. Now, brothers and sisters sometimes have fights, right? Sometimes they don't agree. Sometimes they have problems. But we're loyal to one another. We support one another. We don't talk about one another when they're not present. You know, you have people you can trust. You know, if you walked in a room and they stopped talking, you know you trust them and they weren't talking about you. You don't feel any feelings at all. You just feel perfectly safe because you know they're safe people. But you know there are other people, when you walk in a room and they stop talking, you think, wow, I wonder if they were talking about me. Because like now there's like deadness and there's no conversation. That's awkward. Why? Because you're not sure you feel safe. You're not sure you feel safe. You know what? The church should be a safe place. You should feel safe in the body of Christ. You should feel safe that when people aren't going to talk about you when you leave. They're not going to talk about the church. They're not going to talk about all the things they think are or should or shouldn't happen or whatever. They're going to go directly to the people. So if you have a problem, you don't need to air it to someone else. Tell it to Jesus and then go to the people. That's what you're supposed to do biblically. That's what the Bible tells us. If you're going to complain and criticize, you know how I feel when people are always criticizing other people when I'm around them? I think, I bet if I'm not here, I'm the object of conversation. So I don't feel. Do you know there are some people you don't seem to have anything in common with except what you don't like or who you don't like? I've seen those. What a unsafe environment. No, he's called us. He's commanded us to make sure that we love. And so Christ's love comes when I continue to love. When I continue to love, I've got to keep on doing it. I've got to keep on doing it. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. Don't stop. That means I have to keep putting forth effort. I have to keep doing it. I have to make sure that I'm going to be conscious of demonstrating love in the relationships. Now, Christ's love looks in me, love in me looks like this. We can be able to see certain things. Love is patient. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Now, that's great stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is always the love chapter, and they often talk about that at weddings, and they talk about it. But realistically, this is the model that Christ gave us. This is Christ's love for us. So this is, okay, you want to know how I'm supposed to show love? then here's the way. Now, is that going to take a lifetime to do? Yep. And if God's not going to take us home until we get this accomplished, some of us are going to be really old. Because it just takes a long time to be able to see that love of Christ be perfected in us. I want to share with you, I put it on the back, and I thought this was actually so powerful that I want to read it to you. And this was Oswald Chambers, and it was called Love One Another. And I don't know how many of you have ever read My Utmost for His Highest. Yeah, it's a great devotional. Oswald Chambers' devotionals are like, you have to read them probably at least twice. You read it one time and you go, wow, I need to read that again. And then you go back and read it again because it was so deep, it was hard to be able to grasp it all. That's the kind of, so he says this, love one another. Add to your brotherly kindness, love. Love is an indefinite thing to most of us. We don't know what we mean when we talk about love. Love is the loftiest preference of one person for another and spiritually demands that this sovereign preference be for himself. Initially, when the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it is easy to put Jesus first. But when we must practice the things mentioned in 2 Peter 1 to see them worked out in our lives. The first thing God does is forcibly remove any insincerity, pride, and vanity from my life. And the Holy Spirit reveals to me that God loved me not because I was lovable, but because it was his nature to do so. Now he commands me to show the same love to others by saying, love one another as I have loved you. He is saying, I will bring a number of people around you whom you cannot respect, but you must exhibit my love to them, just as I've exhibited it to you. This kind of love is not a patronizing love for the unlovable. It is his love, and it will not be evidenced in us overnight. Some of us may have tried to force it, but we were soon tired and frustrated. The Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. I should look within and remember how wonderfully he has dealt with me. The knowledge that God has loved me beyond all limits will compel me to go into the world to love others in the same way. I may get irritated because I have to live with an unusually difficult person, but just think how disagreeable I have been with God. Am I prepared to be identified so closely with the Lord Jesus that his life and sweetness will be continually poured out through me? Neither natural love nor God's divine love will remain and grow in me unless it is nurtured. Love is spontaneous, but it has to be maintained through discipline. Great stuff. He's got a great read if you pick up his devotional and you try. You can get it online too. I think it's about everywhere that you can find it. First of all, Christ loving me looks like this. When I love others like Jesus loved me. That's how I do. When I love others like Jesus loved me. Unconditionally, unselfishly, yes, all of those. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. That's what he says. So in the same way, that's how we do it. When I love others as I love myself. So I'm pretty aware of my needs. When I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Thirsty, yes. I mean, like, I'm pretty aware of my needs. I'm sleepy or whatever. Yeah, that's all. But he said, I want you to be aware of other people's needs that are in your world. I want you to see that. And that's why he said, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So love those in your world in that same way. When I love others with a genuine affection. So Christ is in me, and it shows when I'm loving others with a genuine affection. So making sure. I marvel how many families don't tell their family members, I love you. I'm amazed. I mean, that's something that my wife and I have always practiced and saying daily whenever we leave, whenever we come. We say it to our kids often. Our kids say it back. I mean, It's a natural part of our lives. And if you don't say it, even if it's awkward or hard, I encourage you to start saying it. Just do it. Because we need to have a genuine affection for one another. It needs to be expressed. God was certainly indulgent in telling us how much he loved us and telling us over and over, we need to do this. We need to do this. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So make sure that we're going to demonstrate that as well. And then when I love unconditionally, sacrificially, with forgiveness, with a holy and a pure love, it looks like Jesus. It looks like Jesus. And that's why it's so important. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. I think this is great. St. Francis de Sales says, you learn to speak by speaking, to study by studying, to run by running, to work by working. And just so you learn to love God and man by loving. Begin as a mere apprentice, and the very power of love will lead you on to become a master of the art. We want a master of arts in love. That's what we need to have for one another as we seek to follow him. Let's bow for prayer. And I want to ask, maybe there are those in your world, in your life, that are hard for you to love. There may be those that, you know, you struggle. You may be in a relationship. There may be all kinds of things. There may be those that you say, boy, loving unconditionally is just hard. I want you just to put your hands out in front of you and hold them face, palms face up. And as we pray and you release them into your life, maybe somebody you're having difficulty loving, you just turn them over and release them, not holding on to anything. Heavenly Father, we come this morning just telling you that we love you. Thanks for loving us unconditionally. Thanks for loving us the way that you have loved us. Thank you for all of your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the way that you have worked. And Father, we ask that right now as we come before you that your Holy Spirit would pour out your love in our hearts. You would help us to be able to love others in our world in the same way that you have loved us. Lord, we turn our hands over and we release them into your care. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be able to love those in our world with the kind of love that you have loved us, an unconditional, an unselfish, a forgiving, and a holy and a pure love. Thank you, Father, for the faithful ways that you work. Go with us. Help us to be a body of Christ that demonstrates love to one another. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless you and go with you.